Hello and welcome to the finale of this season of the Layover Podcast. We've had so many layovers.
Oh, wait, we have to applaud for Sam. Good job, Sam.
Sam's applauding for himself, which I don't think is allowed, but I think that's fine.
Thank you. Well, I couldn't hear your applause because Zoom filters it out.
It's so true.
I figured I needed some that I could hear. But thank you. I appreciate it. My first solo win, which was very exciting.
It's very exciting.
And an exciting episode, I think. Certainly a lot of ground covered.
Yeah, well, I think the one slightly unfortunate thing about this season is that we mostly end up in the same area of Northern Italy. So it was nice that in the finale, we finally really get out of there.
Yeah. I was glad to get to this. Well, okay, last episode made Ben and I look like idiots. And I think this episode gives a lot more context for our decision-making at the end of last episode, which I'm glad for because there was a lot of commentary I saw. It was like, oh, Ben and Sam were idiots for missing Adam and for hiding and all that. And this gives useful context while also making us seem like idiots again of the fact that, like, the reason why at the end of episode 5, we were not too worried about Adam getting the slip is that we knew that at worst, we would be able to try to catch him again in like 10 minutes.
Well, but you did fail again.
Yeah. We're not getting to that
point
yet. But
then we did fail again. I was going to say that, like, it does kind of vindicate us, but then it makes us look even worse.
Right. Well, the vindication is another fuck up. But, I mean, Ben, we had talked off camera, or maybe it was on camera, but the discussion hadn't made it into the episode. We had talked about, like, our philosophy was we want our catches to be by surprise. We didn't want to have a scenario where Adam found out that we were going for him and therefore could start to take evasive action. Because, like, we've seen how that can play out in, like, I don't know, Paris, for example.
Look, I am not one to not defend us here. Our explanation of why we're not stupid is kind of stupid, which is that we were scared Adam was going to run away. If you think about it for longer than we had to think about it, you realize that there was nowhere that Adam could have run away to. But we didn't sort of think that far because...
Well, I feel like the first episode kind of showed that, like, somebody knowing that you're there and trying to run away doesn't really work that well. Like, it works more, like, at a busy station because there are lots of trains I could get on. But, like, it's like, where was I going to go? What was I going to do? Like, if I'm in the station and you're right behind me, there's not a lot I can do.
Well, I mean, we already explained why in the heat of the moment of the episode 5 catch, we did what we did. But I think this provides additional context of, like, Ben and I knew that we would have a lot of other opportunities quite quickly. And therefore, we could be kind of risk averse, basically, because we would get another shot. Of course, we messed up that other shot, too. But even at that point, we knew that it was going to be tough for Adam to evade us for much longer once we were that close, because we had started from, like, we already caught him in that geography from being way further back than we were at that point in Venice with Adam just leaving Venice. This is copium, but it's small context, I think.
Yeah, we were not that worried at that point, I guess. Like, we were quite frustrated that we missed him and that we missed him again. But, like, ultimately, we knew that he didn't have that many resources and that we were in an area that was, like, generally not going to be that hard to catch him.
Yeah. And obviously, it did turn out that you got me. But I will say that, like, you know, when Ben evaded us that first time in season 2 of Tag, you and I were in a similar place. We were like, oh, well, that's unfortunate and annoying, but it's fine because we're just going to get him anyway. But then it turned out, like, oh, man, not so much. Like, so there is a thing where, like, you know, it didn't happen this time. But I do think it can be the case that, like, yeah, you're near somebody. But because of some weird scheduling things, it can be the case that just a little advantage can turn into a big one.
Yeah.
That was not the case here. You ended up catching me later. But
I do honestly think that, like, a big difference there was just that that happened later in the day. Like, if this had happened, you know, in the afternoon of the final day,
Yeah.
I think we would be much, much more worried.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, I think I was fortunate in that, like, when I did my weird thing at the end of the episode, it was because I had found some weird train to take that, like, would make me safe, whereas, like, you didn't have a train that could make you safe at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to timing, right? Like, if there were only, like, 6 hours left in the game, that might have 100% won it for you.
Our missed catch in Venice, it sort of adds to something that we talked about earlier this season of the Layover podcast, which is that I think all of us have sort of evolved our thinking about how porous big train stations can be in terms of catches.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, you saw Ben and I right there, and, like, I'm honestly not sure how much we could have done differently. We honestly just lost Adam in the crowd in the end.
Yeah. Well, it's really funny. When I was at that station and I got off the train and I saw how crowded it was, you know, I thought I was doing my clever plan at that point. But I was like, oh, man, it's so crowded that, like, I bet that if they were trying to catch me, they wouldn't even be. I remember thinking, like, I bet if they were trying to catch me on this train, they might not even be able to because there's so many people. Like, because it is like, if a train is that crowded, and these trains are long, it just, like,
yeah,
can be very, very hard to find somebody.
Well, especially these double decker trains, I think, are extra tricky on all fronts, because just, like, you get a lot of people leaving in, like, a concentrated area.
I will say, so I edited this segment where we miss you again. And, like, I was watching the footage frame by frame to see if, like, did we catch you on camera? Like, how did we not see you? Because at the time, at least, Sam, I was pretty convinced that we had the whole train covered.
Yeah, same.
And there was one door on the train that neither of us could see. It was right in the middle.
That's really funny.
There was, like, a column on either side of us that were blocking the middle door that we couldn't see, which I guess you can kind of see in the episode, like, Adam gets sort of blocked by this column. And he happened to come out of that door. I actually think that had Adam come out of any other door in the train, we probably would have seen him.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is hard to cover a full train platform, especially a busy train platform. And I do think that that makes these games generally more exciting, right? Because, like, I think that the logic beforehand had been, like, if you're on the train platform and they're getting off the train, that's a catch. And that is just not necessarily true.
Yeah, because I still do think that for an effective catch, like, in that sort of spot, you still need to not get spotted. Because what can happen if the hider does spot you is you go into that sort of game of chicken of, do I stay on the train or do I not stay on the train? And then, like, it's easy for the hider at the last second to, you know, jump off the train or jump on the train. And, like, I think at times it kind of turns it into a 50-50 shot of, you know, are you going to make the right call of Seekers being on the train or not?
Again, it's a Scotty Allen vindication. This was such a theory for us during Capture the Flag that just never came to pass.
Yeah.
But I think it has proven out as time has gone on that, like, that is the case. It just has to be busy enough where you are.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
Yeah, definitely those busy train stations, porous. Certainly a lot more so than we previously thought. But anyways, we get another shot soon. And did we include the weird scheduling stuff? I forget, it's been so long since I watched the episode. The weird scheduling stuff with our train, our last train, that ended up leading to the catch, Ben? Because it didn't end up being relevant.
I think we sort of, maybe not all of the details of this, but yeah, like the thing where we went to Treviso and then we were like, okay, now we have to go towards Adam and he might come towards us at the same time. And if he does come towards us, we have to get off the train and we'll have like 2 minutes to respond and get on his train.
Yeah, I think what it was that we were on, like, the last train on this route for, like, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So, basically, like, we needed to make a decision over whether to get off and catch him if he had come towards us in a very short amount of time. And it was high risk because if we got off and he wasn't coming towards us, we would have been stranded. Which sort of adds to the evidence of, like, yeah, maybe there was a chance of Adam getting out of here.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth also, like, in terms of the routes, you know, in retrospect, I think that, like, where I ended up deciding to go was not ideal. Because originally I was going to go to Venice and connect up to Udine, but the timing didn't work out. This was the trouble is, and I think this is something, again, that's often hard to communicate to people. Like, why didn't you do this? It's like, well, there wasn't a train. Like, there was a good train to Udine, but then after that I was stuck there in terms of getting to Gorizia, which is why I went up to Castelfranco, because Castelfranco is much more well-connected. There's trains leaving in multiple directions, so I thought it would give me more flexibility. But it ultimately did not give me so much flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that at that point in the game, you had to kind of bet on us having been more screwed than we were. Because, like,
yeah.
I think if you had just sort of continued to do normal trains up and up and up and up, we would have inevitably caught you. Whereas, like, if you had taken a risk on a really, really good train, there's a chance that if we didn't get you before then, that would have been it.
Stuff.
So we do get this great moment of Ben finding his litter from a couple days earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I don't know how those got there. They must have fallen out of my pocket or something. But, you know, we picked them up. Didn't litter in the end.
I just can't believe that nobody else picked them up for days.
Yeah.
They're kind of interesting looking.
Well, like a day.
Or a day.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do find those cards just explode everywhere. And pretty much anywhere that I go in, like, my car, my backpack, my house, anywhere, it's just, oh, more cards. I don't know how they get everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I have jet lag cards all over my apartment. They are just everywhere.
Crevice. This is my jet lag cards drawer here. And it's just full of...
Yep.
I've given most of mine away, though, at this point.
Yeah, well, I have plenty more if you want more to give away. Oh, my God.
Same. So, and then, I mean, there's not much more to say than before finally we get a catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got my ass. Well, it is funny. It's like I was finally going to use the tracker. Like, the first person this season, I was just about to buy it. I actually recorded that thing and I was going to buy it, but then I was like, oh, right, my veto. I have to wait 12 minutes or whatever.
Damn.
And then in that 12 minutes, caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually really close.
It was a nice clean catch.
It was a nice clean catch. I want credit. I feel like I've gotten a lot of the tags this season. You know, I didn't win, but I did do a lot of the tagging. Mm-hmm. So that's something.
Yeah.
You know, short bursts of speed.
Yeah, that's sort of my signature.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
You're more of like a sprinter?
Yeah,
exactly. Sprinter. They call me a sprinter. They call me a sprinter.
Really. People are always talking about how Ben's a sprinter.
Or the closer. Is that your name?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, we get nice shots of this. I love being able to watch Adam being oblivious to walking by me from behind. It's fun. That's not a critique.
Look, I did my best.
No, it's like, it's fun to watch him walking into impending disaster.
Here's what I want to know, because I don't think that you guys will remember this at all. I would like right now, live on the podcast, for you to try to correctly guess the accents from Amy's accent quiz. All right.
Oh.
I'm going to pull it up.
Okay.
Not that I'm saying you are claiming that you could have done it, but I just am curious to see if you can do a better job than I did.
I mean, this challenge was specifically designed around the fact that it would be really hard.
Yes, it was designed to be hard. It was designed to be hard.
I'm recusing myself because I do know the answers.
Okay.
Oh, I do not.
But I would like to see Sam do it.
All right. Give me a sec.
What are the choices? So it's
Italian, Austrian, Swiss are the three options.
Okay.
Got it. All right.
Sorry, buddy. That's all the jet's legs.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Okay.
Wow, that is a very short sample.
Yeah, here, go again.
One is Italian, one is Austrian, one is Swiss.
Sorry, buddy. That's how the jets lag.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Okay. Would you like to hear them one more time?
Sure.
Sorry, buddy. That's all the jets' legs.
All right, put in your guess for number one. You can hear them again if you want. You can, you know.
I think he...
Do you feel like you have any idea?
Only a very loose idea.
It's really hard.
Yeah, I mean, with that short of a sample, it's so
tough.
Here,
I'll play him one more time.
Sorry, buddy. That's how the jets lag.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets lag.
Here we go. All right.
Well, the third person, their English accent is like rather British.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they have a pretty trained accent, which is mm-hmm. tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the first person.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. That's all the jet's legs.
That guy.
Yeah. But I think my best guess, and this is a very low confidence guess, is that first person Austrian, second Swiss, third Italian.
Okay. So the first guy, Austrian. This guy's Austrian.
Sorry, buddy. That's all the jet's legs.
Whoa. Actually, she has a train in the background. I want to examine that train.
Okay.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
That looks kind of potentially like a Swiss train.
Okay.
Okay, I'll keep my guess. Austrian, Swiss, Italian.
So her...
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets play.
Her Swiss.
Sorry, buddy. I guess that's how the jets
lag. And then them, Italian. At the end. Okay.
Okay, here are your answers. Your first speaker was Rocco. He's Italian.
Yeah. Oh, so I got it exactly wrong.
Yeah, so first guy, yes. Italian.
Your second speaker was Martina. She's Austrian. And your third speaker was...
Yeah, so you got all three wrong.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. He had blonde hair. He looked like, I don't know, not...
He looked Swiss to you?
Yeah. No, he looked... Didn't I say he was Austrian?
Or Austrian. Yeah, Austrian.
Yeah. I was probably trying to profile them visually a little too
much. Doing racial profiling, yeah. Yeah. No, look, it's tough. It's tough. But yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I honestly got one of them right, but I honestly feel like it was probably mostly through random chance.
Yeah, we intended that to be difficult.
I don't know that we intended it to be quite that hard, because they were indistinguishable.
Yeah. Well, I think a longer sample could have helped.
It's true. The short sample, I think, hurt. But
yeah, but that is tough. I would never have gotten that, I don't think. Well, I guess I would have had a chance of getting that. But yeah, that's a tricky one. Continues the streak of any Amy-administered thing tends to be quite hard.
In fairness, we told Amy what to do for that.
Yes.
She just executed on it, but yes. I think that we should start creating the Amy premium, which is that any Amy-based challenge, we start making it worth like 1.5 times what it was supposed to be worth.
Well, just take what Amy says it should be worth and just 2x that.
Sure, yeah.
Amy doesn't think we deserve points.
Well, Amy just really sort of believes in our ability to do things that we can't
Far
do.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate it, but also it's not helpful during the game. I appreciate her belief in me. Okay. So, then we get to my run. And let me tell you, my options, not good, originally. And that was kind of the deal. Like, I had been looking this entire morning in the small moments we had leading up to various catches, and I simply did not have good options, like, in terms of schedules, basically, out of anywhere around there. And I did not know what I was going to do. Especially because I think one tricky part of the day tends to be midday in any game.
Because fewer trains, because people are at work. Why would people be taking the train unless you're us?
And especially, I think sometimes there are fewer connections that work, basically.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the deal here, where there were like physically routes, but just like not ones that I had a very advantageous schedule mm-hmm. with. One where I could get substantially ahead. And even then, my assumption on how this was going to play out was that I would get a small lead, y'all would jump ahead, get to Milan before I could, and then try to cut me off there.
Yep.
And therefore, I put a lot of my research into basically, how do I make it around Milan?
Yes.
And the answer was more or less, I couldn't.
Yes.
It was going to be really difficult because there are very few routes that in practice do not go through Milan and rather go around Milan. They certainly exist. And you can look at the map, and the map makes it look like you can pretty easily route your way around Milan. But in practice, what I kept finding was that any route that did not go through Milan was so slow that someone in Milan could pretty easily jump up and cut you off pretty immediately.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I think might be easy to miss in the narrative of how this episode plays out, which is like, I feel like I've seen leading up to the finale, a lot of comments being like, oh yeah, like I think Sam's going to win, you know? And ultimately they were right, of course. But like, I think it'd be easy for the narrative to be like, well, Sam got all these coins and then his timing of when he became the runner was good. And so of course he won. But the truth is like, if not for that train being delayed, giving you a perfect route, it's very, very far from guaranteed that you were going to win.
Yeah, and I think that's the case in any situation because there are plenty of scenarios where what leads to the catch is not budget. It's just schedules and routes.
Yeah.
Certainly, I had a major shortcut by having the balance that I did. But yeah, as I'm saying, like with a normal lead, kind of the average lead that someone gets after a catch and a reset, like I did not have a great route that I loved. So to be honest, what I likely would have done in that scenario would have been kind of get near Milan, then go, as Ben calls it, rat mode, and kind of just like take random trains around in my zone, trying to kill time until the end of the day, which I think probably could have worked.
Rat mode would
No one's ever truly tried rat mode in that way.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it work just with the wrong timing. Nobody's gotten close enough to the end of the 3 days to really make it work.
Yeah.
But I think I probably could have in this case, maybe would have made a shot to take the southern route into France, like via Nice or something, because that gets me, you know, further into my zone, certainly geographically further from y'all's zones in the event of a late afternoon catch. But yeah, the timing, I mean, hard to overstate how unbelievably lucky the confluence of circumstances was. Where was that? Was that Treviso? I think it was Vicenza. I think it was Vicenza.
Castelfranco you went Castelfranco to Padua.
Oh, one of those.
I believe.
Wherever it was. Yeah, because like I had this train that I just made out of Castelfranco. And then I think as you see in the clips, I knew that there was a lot of delays that day. And therefore that more than likely my connection was not going to be on something that I could see. The way the trains in Italy seem to interact with Google Maps is that you don't see the delays. You can only really pull up the originally scheduled time on Google. So I was looking at their departure board, and the departure board on Google Maps really did not show anything useful in the slightest.
Well, and that was what we were seeing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see that on our end as we're like, oh, Sam's screwed. Like, his trains are awful.
Yeah. And the trickiness was especially the fact that I knew that y'all could pretty quickly get to Venice and therefore pretty quickly get onto the high-speed line on which I had, at best, pretty slow-speed trains to maneuver around based on the published schedule.
But then we ended up getting screwed.
Yeah, well, because of the same delays.
Yeah.
That just, like, seemed to be especially rampant, even more than a normal day on the Italian train network, seemingly. So, yeah, that was clutch. And especially the thing that I wish we had learned earlier in the season was the fact that they have these, I don't know, they're just kind of like stands in the station with ticketing people that you can go to if you're using credit card, I guess. And I guess I don't know why there are so many people who are not using credit card, because I'd gotten, you know, what you see kind of happen is I went to the main ticket office and it's one of these things where like you pull a number and wait for your number to get called. So I was standing out sort of in the main lobby waiting for my number to get called, and it did not look like I was going to, you know, have it called nearly in enough time when I asked one of the ticketing agents who were just kind of like standing around or whatever, I don't know, whether I could buy a ticket. Because the trickiness was that the train that I wanted to get on, its originally scheduled departure time had passed. So you can't buy those tickets on the ticket machine because it'll think that it's too late. So I'd asked to confirm that, and that's when they brought me to this other spot. And also because we were traveling on Eurail, they have to input like all this information. Like they have to input your like Eurail info and your passport number and a credit card and your name and date of birth and all sorts of stuff. So like I was standing at that thing for like 5 minutes and I thought there was no shot because based on the published delay, even the train had already left, but I still ran to the platform and I was amazed. I mean, you see how delighted I am that the train hadn't left. because I thought for sure it was too late. And therefore, I thought for sure that, you know, I was close to GG and that I had wasted all this time that I could be on a train trying to get a ticket. But it worked.
It's crazy that it worked. Well, I mean, when you have the 1-2 punch of your thing works out and then ours, your thing, which is more unlikely, works out, and our thing, which was pretty likely, does not work out, mm-hmm. which is that we are unable to make a train despite having more connection time because there are all these big lines at the ticket machines.
Yeah, I don't even know if this was clear, but a lot of the ticket machines at that station were, like, not working, and they were, like, broken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we just had to, like, wait for the, like, couple of machines that were actually working.
But the truth is, honestly, I think from the second I got on that train, y'all did not have a shot.
From the moment you got on that train, I think it was game over, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we didn't totally know that, but in retrospect.
Yeah. Because at best, you were 1 hour behind. But considering I didn't need to get budget, I could just keep that 1 hour ahead.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that there is a chance that had we made that train, we would have been able to catch you earlier in Switzerland, but I still think it would have been over.
Possibly a little bit earlier.
I think if neither of those things had happened, like, I think if we had made that train and you hadn't made that train, I might have actually won. And I want to say this because people have been, for episodes, like, Ben's got no freaking shot. I had a little bit of a shot. It might have happened.
It's true.
How much money did you have?
Like, none.
Okay.
But it could have happened. It could have happened.
Well, I would like vindication about the fact that this season was essentially a repeat of the strategy that I attempted season one.
It's true.
Of kind of, like, focus your first run more on generating budget and then go mm-hmm. for it with a second run. And I saw some commentary being like, Sam's an idiot. Should have just gone for it. And maybe I was. But I was pretty confident that part of it was for me was I knew that both of y'all were not strong in the budget department for a second run. And therefore, I was honestly myself relatively confident about getting back to a second run.
Hmm.
Certainly felt more confident about that than the ability to get a winning run that first time. Because remember, I was in Bassano del Grappa when I was doing that, and therefore I knew I was in the situation where I had to take a 2-hour train to get to the spot where Ben and Adam only had to take a 1-hour train. So I knew that I was just, like, kind of geographically boxed in.
I saw comments being like, why didn't Sam take a flight? And it's like, well, because he would have had to get to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't have been a good idea, ultimately.
Also, you couldn't use your phone.
Yeah.
A bunch of people were like, why wouldn't he take a flight? It's like, well, I don't know, man. He's in Bassano del Grappa without use of his phone. I don't know that he would be able to beat us to the airport, certainly by such a huge margin that we don't catch him at the airport and then book a flight. Like, that's, I mean, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, it would be totally allowed for y'all to buy a ticket and go through security.
Oh, totally.
And therefore, like, the idea of, like, sitting around for at minimum 60 minutes in an airport waiting to take off, pretty unlikely. To be honest, I don't know if an airplane will ever, I mean, we theoretically allow it, but just, like, airplanes are so risky in this game that I don't know if we'll ever see mm-hmm. them.
We like to have it on there for fun.
I guess there's an airport in Treviso, but I don't think it's a big one.
I think that there are scenarios where taking a plane makes sense for the chasers.
More so for the chasers, yeah.
Yeah.
There are contexts where I think that that could be argued. I don't think that we've seen one. I think, honestly, the only plane that has ever made sense in Tag was the one that
I didn't know existed.
Adam could have taken, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we almost, Ben, I mean, we were seriously discussing it when Adam got that huge lead
yeah.
at the start of season two.
Yeah.
And we would have. It was just that the flight that we wanted to take to Frankfurt, I believe, only had, I think, one seat left when we were looking at it. So we couldn't.
Yeah.
But if not for that, we likely would have backtracked it to Charles de Gaulle and then flown to Frankfurt because we could have gotten to Frankfurt earlier and therefore potentially cut Adam off or at least gotten closer via that.
I think if we keep doing Tag, you know, you'll see a plane eventually.
Maybe.
But who knows? I will also say, just to comment on the previous thing about your strategy working out, I think it is funny that we've been doing Tag long enough now that we each have our own sort of signature style of playing the game. like, I feel like we each have a kind of core strategy to our gameplay that we've settled into.
What's your core strategy, Ben?
Rat mode.
Rat mode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously rat mode.
Yeah, for sure.
And it worked once. Kind of.
It did work once. I do think it's cute that we've each won one season of Tag now.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of adorable. But anyway, I feel like we've already sort of covered a lot of what happened, right? But, you know, you get on your delayed train. Ben and I, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that is fun is, like, we are so confused about what train you're on because it didn't totally occur to us, like, that a train would be delayed for, like, what was it, like, 45 minutes or something? So, like, you're just on this line and you're moving. And we had assumed you were on, like, maybe this different train. And we were just like, I guess the train is just, like, moving fast at the beginning, but it'll slow down later because that'll match the arrival times on Google Maps. And you just kept moving. And then eventually you arrived in Milan and we were just like, what the hell? Like, how is he there? Like, I remember we were so baffled. We were like, he's not supposed to be there for, like, over an hour. Like, why is he already there?
Now you know what it's like to be on a ghost train.
Yeah.
To have your runner on a ghost train. It was very confusing when you were doing this too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn ghost train.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this is kind of what we talked about before of just like delays are just like annoying as a seeker because they make it so hard to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. They just make everything so noisy.
Yeah. That's why I never want to do Tag Germany.
Sure.
Or at least a full German season.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Deutsche Bahn would just be so tricky. Maybe entertaining for the audience, but really annoying for us.
But anyway, so I guess we should pick up, I guess, with you getting to Milan.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had my route picked out pretty well. I mean, I sort of on camera make it seem like I don't, but I knew where I was going. I spent my time in Milan station trying to find a coat. We cut out all of that footage.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all packed, I think, not necessarily thinking that we were going to end up where we ended up. And therefore, I did not have literally a single warm layer because, for the most part, we were dealing with it being very warm out rather than being very cold out. And I knew that I would need to have something to survive out in the Swiss Alps.
Oh, yeah. As soon as Adam and I realized where you were going, we were like, oh, no.
Yeah.
We have nothing to wear.
We do include you buying the jacket eventually, when you do buy it.
Yeah, eventually, yeah, when I get there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the forecast for Andermatt showed snow, actually. It wasn't quite that. It was kind of just, like, freezing rain. But, yeah, it was a very different climate. And let me tell you, I enjoyed the Italian trains, but, man, it was so nice to get back on the Swiss trains.
Oh, dude, I agree. Well, it was funny, too. It's like you cross the border, and you just start being like, wow, these train stations are so much nicer. Just like the vibes are so much better. And you're like, yeah, I remember why I loved Switzerland so much.
Well, the Italian train stations certainly have character. Like, but the Swiss train stations are so nice. And I remember on my first stop, it was nice. I feel like every season we do, we kind of learn which snacks and stuff are our favorite from, like, the vending machines and stuff, because they're all very standardized. And it was nice to go back to the Swiss vending machine snacks, although I spent, like, cleanly double or triple as much as I had been in Italy, just over the border.
Prices in Switzerland are crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's quite the dramatic transition. I was also minorly pleased because I figured out a connection that Google wouldn't tell you to do that could save me some coins by stopping in this very random stop rather than going all the way into somewhere. I don't remember. Anyway, it was a little trick. But, I mean, there's not much more to say until the end, really. But I think one thing I really want to convey is the fact that, like, I had perfectly the amount of coins to get to Goshenen. In the end, obviously, I picked my end location for the memes. But, like, it was really narrowed down quite a lot. Like, I looked at a couple different routes into Switzerland. There are a couple different sort of cross-border trains that leave from Milan. But the schedules didn't really work out for a tight connection on the main other route, which is, I think, the one that pops you out in Visp. Mm. So kind of closer to Zermatt, which I considered ending in Zermatt because I know it's nice. And also because kind of weird, kind of fun that it was the end location for the prior seasons of Tag. Because I did not have enough time or money, obviously, to get all the way to Lyon. But yeah, so it just ended up that the way into Switzerland that made sense was the one that went through Goshenen. And then the amount of coins I had was the amount that would get me to Goshenen. And if you recall, Goshenen is where you transfer onto the train to Andermatt, which is where you transfer onto the, yes, you know, both very short trains to Hospenthal. So basically to say, like, it was weirdly decided for me where to end,
yeah,
more or less, at least broadly. But it was cool to get back to Goshenen, and I was very glad to pull Eat This Card and not some other fucky thing that I had to do in the rain and the cold.
Eat This Card is one that we've had cooking for a while.
Yeah.
We wanted to include, and we've always joked about it, and we've never done it.
We've tried to put it into the game so many times, and Sam has been like, no. And then finally this time he was just like, fine. And then he got it, and that makes me very happy. It's a perfect finale.
I was mostly just didn't want to get sick from eating, you know, these cards go through it.
They do.
Yeah, just the sanitation aspect of it didn't really appeal to me. But in this case, desperate times, desperate measures.
Well, but you had like a fresh batch of cards, I think.
Yeah, I could have done that, I guess, but I didn't. I had a train to catch. As you saw, the train was right behind me. And I mean, I guess I could have waited for the next one, but I didn't want to. It was very cold out. That card, not very tender.
Mm. No, well, it is sort of coated in like plastic or whatever.
Yeah, which is probably still in my stomach.
We'll work on that next time.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when we put that on, I feel like you were like, well, it'll be really easy to eat it. And I remember I was like, well, I don't know that it'll be that easy.
I just thought it would like start to dissolve quicker than it did.
Yeah, no.
But it really didn't. You really had to chew it.
Yeah.
It's not just paper.
Yeah, it took some work. I earned those coins.
You did.
You did. You did.
But yeah. So then I head up to Andermatt. I've never seen the tops of the mountains in Andermatt from either of our visits. Mm. Every time we've been, well, all two times we've been, it's been like very, very foggy. And mm-hmm. So I have no idea how scenic it is. I assume much. I mean, it's nice to even with the clouds.
I mean, I will say that the ride up there is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've seen a lot of very pretty places over the course of filming this show, but I don't think that I've been struck quite like I was struck by southern Switzerland, like the Italian part of Switzerland. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, Lugano, where Lugano, we stopped, yeah. Ben, you and I, was unbelievable.
I was like, whoa, man. It's pretty.
Yeah, no, the entire area is pretty amazing. And yeah, particularly the kind of cog railway from Goshenen to Andermatt is quite the scenic little bit. It was very clear when I got to Andermatt that it was like deep in the off season, because I think we were filming this very late May, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so like before kind of like the summer tourism season started, so like pretty much everything in Andermatt was closed, and therefore the only shop that I could find open that would sell something warm to make me survive in the cold was Mammut, which is rather expensive. So I really invest, I think I spent like 250 francs on that jacket.
Oh my goodness.
But I've already worn it. In fact, I have it right behind me here. I've used it other times already. I kind of needed another good light layer.
You didn't go with the strategy of putting on 14 shirts?
Well, I only had t-shirts.
Right.
Whereas you had long sleeve shirts. It was a good strategy.
Well, I had one long sleeve shirt.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, no, I didn't. Maybe I should have. But yeah, because it was not only very, very cold, it was also very, very wet and very, very windy. Kind of all the things at once. But anyway, yeah, and then of course I headed to Hospenthal. Nothing had changed. There was no snow this time. That was the main difference.
Yeah. It's crazy to me still that that castle is just sitting there and you can just go in there whenever you want.
You can just go in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
I fear we're going to cause an overwhelming amount of... We were talking about this. We've seen a lot of like posts of people going there already. And I feel like the fact that we've gone back will add to that.
You have to imagine. Yeah.
It's a good spot. Just make sure to, you know, respect the locals. Don't leave graffiti.
Oh, God, please don't leave graffiti.
Don't leave anything.
Well, it is funny. Like, I do think it is funny with our show, like, how we've turned very normal places into, like, scenes, like, you know, it's like the place from Jet Lag, you know, like there are times when it's like, oh, well, this scene from this movie was like filmed at this place or whatever. But like with us, it's like we just like hung out in this like town. And now it's like this very normal town is like, you know, in people's minds, like associated with the show.
Probably none more so than Ben's slide.
Yeah.
Marla Shotgun. Yeah, I see posts from there all the time. I worry about the kids at that playground.
Yeah. Please let the kids play.
But then again, I've also never seen every time people post from that playground, it's completely empty. So maybe it's fine.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a particularly popular one. Maybe because it's so hard to find.
Yeah, exactly. You might get lost.
Yep.
Kids might disappear.
I'm still not convinced it's there, but I guess these posts are convincing me.
No, it's sort of like a, what's that thing where like you have to believe in order to like see the entrance to it, like the secret garden or something?
Platform 9 3/4.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
I don't know. One of those things. But yeah, it was nice to be back in Hospital. Y'all seemingly figured out I was going there fairly early on.
Yeah, I figured it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, we were sort of like, oh, he's probably going to go to either Hospital or to the Marla Shotgun slide. And then it became clear that it was going to be Hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I probably could have made it to Marla Shotgun. I probably would have needed to do more challenges because I did have plenty of time.
Yeah, it was a little further.
Yeah. I mean, I got to Andermatt at like 4 p.m. So theoretically, I probably could have gotten a lot further if I wanted to. But I knew just on schedules that I had wanted at that point. So
yeah,
didn't feel the need to prolong it.
Well, you know, if you had gone to Marla Shotgun, it would have taken us a while to get there, considering how far behind you we were.
Yeah, there's the other factor of just like me as a human wants it to end so we can just get to a hotel room. And that involves getting our final shots and getting our finale bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what to say on our end, Ben, we went to that bar in the Milan train station. To me, this is a great hack, is that that food market in the Milan train station is great. And you should go there if you go through there.
It's very good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff. And that bar was fun. I guess it was like a little sort of pop-up of a very
famous bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
The drinks there are great.
Yeah.
I got this like special Negroni that had like coffee in it that was really good. And then, you know, we just kind of vibed out on the train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And got to, again, sort of experience southern Switzerland. And that was quite beautiful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something quite nice about when you realize that you've definitely lost. You get to just kind of enjoy the sights. And there were a lot of very pretty things to see along the way.
Yeah. You know, we sort of go montage mode at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly enjoyed the first moments of peace, basically knowing I'd won, being able to enjoy those very scenic train rides.
Yeah.
And we had a nice little night in Andermatt after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because after we did our final shot, we took a taxi to the middle of Andermatt where it was surprisingly hard to find food because again, it would seem like they're off season. And we found a spot that did not seem to be like entirely pleased with person with 10 shirts on.
No, a lot of people were staring at me because of my 10 shirts.
The 10 shirts did draw a little bit of attention, but I think they were chill. They were chill with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be clear, we took the train to Andermatt, and then I think we took a taxi.
No, we didn't.
Is that not right?
No. We took a taxi from Hospital to Andermatt because it was actually only like 10, 15 minutes.
Is that true? Okay. I take it back.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Because we would have had to wait a really long time for the train. Important details that the audience is demanding.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a nice meal of, I forget what, but Swiss-ish things. No, actually, I remember what. We had rösti because we were all craving rösti.
We did have rösti, yeah. And it was pretty good.
Yeah. Good post-game food.
Yeah. Love some good rösti. And then we stayed at the
Radisson Blu.
We've now stayed there twice. The Radisson Blu.
It's a good hotel, that Radisson Blu in Andermatt.
I think we mentioned this last time where like Ben and I were like amazed at how you're in the kind of the middle of nowhere. And then you have this massively like super modern, nice hotel.
Yeah.
And it was quite nice. Nice and warm, which was good. And I had a delightful day the next day getting to Milan Airport because I took the train the different way, actually. I took the train from Andermatt to Visp, which is like a very slow train. Vispas near Zermatt. And then I transferred onto a train to Milan. And that train ride was crazy scenic. Turns out it's on the route of the Glacier Express, which is like Switzerland's maybe most famous kind of like scenic train.
Right. I know about the Glacier Express.
Yeah, yeah. It goes from Zermatt to St. Moritz. And it was, yeah, super, super scenic. Highly recommend that train line for anyone. Visp to Andermatt, or really the entire Glacier Express, but particularly that segment was really nice. And that was very nice.
Well, guys, let me ask you, as we sort of reach the end here with this season done, any takeaways from this season, from Tag 3, from doing Tag again, from the first time we've done a repeat game in a different spot?
I mean, the map definitely changed the game a lot.
Yeah.
We knew it would, but like, this season was so defined by choke points.
Yeah.
Which really kind of, I think, started to influence our gameplay.
Yeah.
I would say that in the end, this map was harder than we had even thought it would be.
Agreed. Yeah.
And it really does show that, like, you need a pretty open set of options for things not to get very hard for you as the runner.
Yeah. Because our original map was just in an area that was like dense enough with not many like geographic impediments, mm-hmm. where there was just like consistently options everywhere pretty much.
Yeah.
But here, yeah, the choke points were really the defining feature, which in some ways I think was nice because it led to different incentives, different strategy and stuff like that, that mixed things up. Of course, on the other hand, it did mean that we played most of the game in a relatively small geographic area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me excited to see what Tag would look like in different geographies and with different sort of transit networks. Because, you know, I think that obviously, like, the thing we were quite worried about doing this again is that it would feel too similar and that people would get bored and that people would be unhappy that we were doing it again. And I think ultimately, like, just changing the map a little bit, you know, really did, I think, bring enough new energy to the game. I don't know. Yeah, it makes me feel pretty good about testing some new things out with Tag.
Yeah, I don't know where we would take Tag next. I mean, like, genuinely, we've discussed it and
it's hard.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there were a lot of other options that we looked at, and just for some reasons excluded. We truly kind of looked across Europe at quite a lot of different maps and ended up on this one, which generally was pleased with. Only thing I might have hoped for was maybe just like a little bit more diversity of where we went. But some of that could have just been how the game played out. But yeah, we'll be poring over the map. We've gotten plenty of suggestions. And while we appreciate the suggestions, to be honest, I think our main suggestions are looking at the map. And we've examined a lot of the options I think people have put forward.
It's not easy. It's not easy to find a map that actually works.
It's not easy. With kind of all the different scenarios we've looked at, or kind of we're looking at. We have no solid plans, but I think we are certainly interested in continuing to do Tag and continuing to do it in different geographies where it's possible, but we're not super sure where that might be next. Yeah. Anyways, other big takeaways?
We should use the trackers more.
Yeah.
Gameplay-wise.
Yeah, we should do the things that we set up for ourselves ahead of time, knowing that we want us to do them because it would be good and smart to do. And then when we play the game, ignore our previous thoughts. And then after the game are like, no, we were right. Yeah.
The Italians eat a lot of carbs. That's my takeaway.
Mm, sure. That's true.
It was kind of impossible not to eat something that was not predominantly carbs.
Well, carbs are delicious. So
they are. I'm not complaining. It was a delightful experience. But truly, every meal was like some form of bread, basically, plus something else. Other takeaways?
I think those are all my takeaways.
Yeah.
Get on the train. Get on the delayed train. That's the takeaway.
Yeah. I think it was a fun season. Fun season.
Yeah. Fun season. Tag is always one of my favorite games to play, if not my favorite.
It's a very fun game to play.
Yeah. And I was really glad to explore this area, and it's a very nice area because weirdly I have not traveled Italy that much. I've traveled quite a lot of Europe, quite a lot, but not Italy, and especially not northern Italy. So it was nice to check out this area and learn about Italian trains, which are mostly good. Better than American trains.
I mean, most things are better than American trains, in fairness, but yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else?
Thank you for watching, yeah. I suppose, I would
yet
say.
Yet another season.
And for listening to the Layover podcast. I mean, if you're listening, yeah. then you're a true fan.
Yeah.
We love the Layoverheads.
And we're going to be doing more of this until next season, which I suppose you will all know about soon.
Maybe.
Maybe.
If we decide to make one.
If we decide to make one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which we may or may not have decided to do.
Yeah.
No way of knowing what we might decide to do.
Got to keep them in suspense. Well, as you likely know, we'll be shifting into our off-season layover schedule, which means every other week. Usually we start the first one as a question and answer mailbag episode from the season, so potentially if you follow us on the social medias, you'll see a post asking for questions soon. I don't know who will post it. I don't know when. We'll figure it out, but maybe.
Yep.
It's certainly possible. More than possible, I'd even say likely.
Yep. Get your questions ready.
Yeah. What I would especially advocate for is, like, I feel like we always get generic questions and we're low on questions about the season in particular.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a question about the season in particular, that'll be more likely to get picked. Maybe. No guarantees. Well, anyways, that's that. That's tag three.
That's tag three. Whee!
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Wow.